They can take your freedom. They can take your job. They can take your family. They can take your wealth. They can take your health. But they cannot take Jesus away from you. And if you're content with Jesus, you've always got him. You're the winner. You're the winner.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Beating Discouragement and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today I'm going to be talking about beating discouragement. Discouragement. What does discourage mean? Does anybody know what discourage means? Well, the word dis means to be without. And then the word courage, well, it's courage. So that means to be without courage. It means to be discouraged, without courage. You've been trying so hard. You've been waiting so long. You've been hoping so much, and it didn't happen. It didn't go the way you thought it was going to go, and you just want to give up. You don't have the courage to go on any further because you've already invested so much that it just didn't work out the way you thought. It's not working out the way you thought. It won't work out the way that you thought. Time to give up. Key verse today is Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading out of the NIV. Listen to this, guys. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Discouragement. What is the psalmist say here? He's asking a question. Why are you downcast, O my soul? What's going on here? Why am I so discouraged? Ever ask yourself that? Or just accept it the way it's going? You need to ask yourself this question the next time you get down. Because listen what he says. He says, put your hope in God. That's the remedy. I might be down in my circumstances, but my circumstances ain't getting me down. Because I got my hope in God. You can't beat God down. He's not going to fail you. But listen, while you're hoping, you should be praising. Because listen, he goes on and he says, for I will yet praise him. Why? Because he's my Savior and my God. This psalmist wrote this before Jesus Christ came. And he has more hope in his words than most Christians have in their life. Praise God. Did you hear what I just said? This psalmist has more hope in his words than many Christians have in their own life. After the fact of Jesus. This psalmist never saw Jesus face to face. He never knew of Jesus' coming in the sense that we have seen it come. We're in the behind sight of Jesus. He was in the before sight of Jesus. Yet he still put his hope in God, and he still praised God, and he still received God as his Savior and his God. But listen, if you don't hope in God, you're hoping in something else that's temporal. If you're hoping in anything else other than God, hoping in your own abilities, hoping in your own bank account, hoping in your friends, hoping in your family, hoping in your job, those things can fail you. And more than likely, they will fail you. The jobs will fail you, won't they? Family will fail you, won't they? Friends will fail you, won't they? And who's the biggest letdown of all? You will fail you, right? I'd have a better life if I could get out of the way. Put your hope in God then. Stop hoping for something else. Your ship ain't coming in if your ship isn't being captained by God. If you don't see the ship steered by the Lord Almighty, you don't want to get on that boat. That boat's sinking. Quit waiting for the next best thing to come along. There's nothing better than God. Nothing better than God. But listen, while you're hoping, you should be praising yet, for I will yet praise him. praise him. Why? Because he's your Savior. No matter how bad it gets here and now, you're not going to hell if you're a Christian. But see, if you don't believe that, you ain't going to have no hope. And if you ain't got no hope, you ain't going to be praising. And if you ain't praising, you ain't going to recognize him as your Savior or your God. And you're going to continue living your life the way you want to live it outside of the will of God. And nothing is going to change. And you're going to blame it all on somebody else because you're doing the best you can do instead of submitting to God. Amen. Discouragement in this life will come. No one's off the hook. Even Christians, right? Christians have a helper, though, when discouragement comes, the Holy Spirit. We can get down and we can pray and we can hope in God and we can recognize him as our Savior and our God. So first of all, I want to say about discouragement and beating it, don't give in to it. Listen to James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Listen, he's going to come to you and he's going to tell you this is how you do it. Resist the devil. Don't you know he's nagging at you night and day? Some of y'all think, well, the devil's not whispering in my ear. How do you know? Maybe he's talking to you through another person. Maybe he's coming to you as a family member. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your nephew, a friend, a coworker. The devil will get to talking to you. And he will tell you to do things that does not line up with the word of God. But listen, if you submit yourself to God, you'll be resisting the devil. If you submit to God. Many people give in to discouragement because they lack discipline and self-control. Self-control. Get a hold of yourself. Many people give in to discouragement. They don't have the discipline of self-control. They don't want to wait on the answer that God has for them. I can't tithe my money because I got to go out and spend it today, Pastor. Many people give in to discouragement. They lack discipline and self-control. Man, you know, if you don't get up to go to work on time, sooner or later, you show up late, you're going to lose your job, right? You don't do what you're told to do on the job, you're going to lose your job, right? But people don't see that with their walk with God. They just live their life any way they want to, and walking the Christian life is too hard, it's too disciplined for them. They don't want to do it, and then they wonder why there's trouble on every corner. Why do I feel so nervous all the time? Where's this anxiety coming from? It's because they're not submitting to God. We must be determined in our faith in God by submitting ourselves to him through obedience. Obedience. You know, we have 10 commandments, right? Right? We don't have to go through them now, but we all know that it's wrong to lie. We all know that it's wrong to steal. We all know that it's wrong to gossip and to spread rumors about people, right? But how many times in a day do we find ourselves doing stuff like that? Well, Pastor, I never killed anybody, but the Bible says if you hate somebody in your heart, you done committed murder. You ain't even supposed to be thinking bad stuff about people. God made them just like he made you, and he loves them equally. Amen? So we must be determined in our faith in God by submitting ourselves. Listen, nobody can make you listen but yourself. Now, there's certain rules that we have in society, right? We have speed limits, amen? Speed limits? But how many of us break that? But that's because we don't submit to the rules. But submitting ourselves to God, actually, believe it or not, that brings peace. That brings peace. It does. Submission is key to resisting Satan. Submission is not easy. It takes God's Holy Spirit. But let me back up a little bit. Submission is key to resisting Satan. You know, the devil's waiting for you to mess up. Did you know that the Bible tells us that Satan sits around accusing us all the time to God? And when he catches you in something, he wants to run up to God and say, you know what I caught one of your Christian kids doing? I caught them gossiping. I caught them telling lies and bearing false witness about another brother, another sister. What are you going to do about that? Oh, just God? You're a just God. Even Satan knows that God is just. So if you're out of the obedience of God, Satan has a right to accuse you. And God disciplines those whom he calls a son. That's what the Bible says. When you're a child of God, he has to discipline you because he loves you and he has to set you straight. So submission is key to resisting Satan, and this helps us beat discouragement, because when Satan comes into your life, I promise you, he's going to discourage you. He will start beating on your doors until he gets in, and he will wreak havoc in your life. Now, I know that there's some of us in here today that have made wrong choices in our lives, and we're still feeling the repercussions of those wrong choices. Amen? The devil don't go away very easily. Some of us in here know what I'm talking about. Maybe all of us know. And he is very good at discouraging you. Is he not? It's his job. He wants to take your courage away. Second of all, don't give out with it. Psalm 105:2. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. What am I talking about? Pastor, what are you talking about? I don't understand. Don't give out with it. Man, when you're discouraged, don't call everybody on the phone telling them your woes. Don't whine to everybody about what's going on. Don't be blaming God for what you got yourself into or somebody else did to you. Don't give out to it. Don't be speaking that stuff. Do you know that when you start talking negative stuff, your brain hears it double? You're vocalizing the negativity, and your brain is reinforcing what you're hearing again. You're not only thinking it, but now you're speaking it out, and your ears are picking up on it. Because you know the devil comes to you and says, well, it's never going to work. This is never going to happen. You're never going to get that. You're done, lost. You might as well give up. That's what he's saying to you, and he loves it when you start speaking. Oh, I don't know what to do. It's just out there. And you call everybody up. But, you know, when you hear something negative about another person, you shouldn't be picking up the phone talking about them either. You know what I mean? You wouldn't like it if somebody said something about you. Even if it was true, you wouldn't like it if somebody picked up the phone and told everybody your business, would you? You'd hate that, wouldn't you? And then you'd pick up the phone and call that person up and tell them a thing, wouldn't you? And probably call a few others and tell on that person and do the same thing they did. We can't do that as Christians. We're to be loving one another. Some people are negative. They're just, everything's negative. The glass is half empty. My life is almost over. I don't have very many friends. Their pessimistic thoughts and words bring discouragement to themselves and to others. You ever meet a negative person? Nothing positive comes out of their mouth. They drag you down. Some people are just negative. I know a lot of negative people. And you try to cheer them up and they get mad at you. It's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. I don't want it to be okay. Because then who's going to feel sorry for me? Don't take away my sorrow. It's like you try to help them and they get mad at you because you're taking away the only thing they got to hang on to. This is my discouragement. Leave me alone. Get your own. We must be positive. Look for the good. God is the constant good in our lives, and we should always focus on him. Listen, I know what you guys do. One bad thing happens. One bad word comes your way. One rotten person shows up in your life for the day, and you done made up your mind that you're going to be unhappy. God is the constant good in our lives. Listen, if you don't have anything to be happy about, why don't you focus on God? Why don't you just be happy that he's in your life, that he cares about you? Don't you know that God could hang out with anybody he wants to hang out with? Don't you know that Jesus said that the rocks would cry out and praise him if God so be it? He could make a friend if he didn't have a friend, but he wants to be friends with you. He wants to hang out with you. But see, discouragement comes when we want something from our friend that we're not getting from our friend, and I don't want a friend like that. You ain't my friend if you want something from me outside of my companionship. So we need to approach God with praise and worship and recognizing who he is and wanting to be with him for the sake of who he is and not what he can do for us. But listen, Philippians 4:4 says what? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. I want to get you guys fired up about God because, listen, what he's done in my life and what he's trying to do in your life is one of the best things that will ever happen in your life. Because, listen, when you got God and you're rejoicing in God, that is the one constant that nobody can take away from you. Because, see, they can take your freedom. They can take your job. They can take your family. They could take your wealth, they could take your health, but they cannot take Jesus away from you. And if you're content with Jesus, you've always got him. You're the winner. You're the winner. And then when all of these enemies and these bad people come up and they're laughing at you and they're mocking you and they're at you and you feel like you're going to lose, you just say, but wait a minute, I got Jesus. He's my best friend. I feel him all around me. I feel him within me. And I'm speaking the word of God and I'm praising him despite my problems. And guess what? Nobody can take it away from me. I win, you lose. Because you can't get out of me what he's put inside of me. He's put his spirit inside of me. And if God be for you, what can man do to you? The Bible says. Praise God. So listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Your circumstances should not dictate your joy in the Lord. Your circumstances are but temporal. Third, don't get down from it. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. But see, look at this. Thanksgiving. How many of you are appreciative of what you already have? And now you just thought of your car, your house, your money, your jobs, your food. You're thinking of something materialistic. You got Jesus. You need to start there. If you're starting anywhere else when I just said that, you're on the wrong track. Because what Jesus wants you to do is be thankful that he died for your sins and you're not going to hell. Because he says, work for the eternal food that never perishes, right? The bread that never perishes. And not for the things that are going to fade away in life. Listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything. Stop worrying about your life. Because there's just some things, many things, most things you cannot control. It's out of your hands. You thought you had control. You thought you were manipulating it. You thought you were getting away with telling people and telling things how to act and how to work. But then it got out of your hands and you realized you were just human. Do not be anxious about anything. It's not helping you. It's going to make you sick. It's going to keep you up at night. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night thinking about all of these problems you can't fix anyways. And all of these people you can't fix. You know you can't fix people. No matter how much you argue with them in your head at night. Come on, you know sometimes people get you so mad you wake up in the middle of the night arguing with them in your head. You know you do it. I should have said. I should have told them this. But in everything, by prayer and petition. You got to pray, right? What is praying? That's talking to God. But what's petitioning? That's asking him. That's asking him. That's asking him and that's being persistent. I'm going to petition you to give me what I want, God. I'm going to pray and talk about it with you, God. I'm not happy right now, Lord. I'm not happy. And I'm trying to get anxious, but I don't want to. So you're talking to him. You're praying to him. Tell him how it feels. You come to him in reverence and you say, Father, I'm getting a little bit anxious about something and I'm not supposed to. I got something I need to talk to you about. I got a problem and I need your help. I'm going to petition you on it, oh Lord. But I want to thank you first, God. I want to thank you because I know that you're here for me. I know that you care for me. I know that you love me. So I'm presenting my request to you, God, in thanksgiving. I appreciate what you've already done for me. And I'm sorry that I messed things up, God. I'm sorry that I messed it up because I know ultimately it's me to blame. I want to blame my friend. I want to blame my sister, my brothers. But you know what? I wanted that control and I took it. But now I give you thanksgiving. And I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be brought down. When Christians neglect to pray and believe God's word, they are easy prey for discouragement. You stop praying and you stop believing God's word. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get discouraged. Because when you do pray, God's going to bring a word to you. He's going to tell you what the circumstances are going to be. He's going to tell you what he's going to do for you. But if you don't believe, you're not going to do what's required on your part to make it happen. Sometimes God will come to you and he'll try to get you out of something and he'll tell you to do something that doesn't make any sense. And you say, that don't make any sense. I don't believe God. I'm not going to do that. And you're going to stay right in your circumstance because you disobey. And that's what happens when Christians neglect to pray and believe God's word. They're allowing that discouragement to come into them and they're saying in their heart, what's the use? What's the use of going to church anymore? Preacher man just does a bunch of talking, but it doesn't change anything in my life. I'm not trying to change your life. I'm trying to change your viewpoint. Amen? If I can get you a viewpoint of how God sees your life, then God will change your life. I can't do that for you. I don't have a magic wand up here. Anxiousness is Satan's tool to keep Christians off balance and out of focus with God. This is Satan's tool against you. Discouragement. But see, when you start getting anxious and you think that God's not going to come through for you, Satan takes advantage of that because he knows that he can get you to move out of God's timing. We must have faith in God. We must ask him to lift us up and believe that he is able to keep us from falling. We have to have faith in God. Now, I say this almost every sermon, don't I? Faith in God, faith in God, faith in God. But God is the one who lifts us up. We don't lift ourselves up. If we lift ourselves up, we have to hold ourselves up. And we don't have that kind of endurance to continue holding ourselves up, do we? Sooner or later, our strength fails. We can lift ourselves up to a point, but we can't keep ourselves there. Don't give up through it. Some of you right now want to quit. Some of you right now have thought about quitting. I know it. I know it. You guys want to give up on church? You want to give up on reading your Bible? Some of you haven't even begun to start reading your Bible on a daily basis. You've given up on even thinking about starting to read your Bible. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Now, if you're doing bad, you better start getting worried about something, okay? But let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, everybody say the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, don't you know that Satan wants to turn the heat up in your life just before the blessing's coming? Just before you're about to get your breakthrough, he is going to hit you with a sledgehammer and try to destroy you, to make you quit, so that you lose the blessing that God had in store for you. Amen? He wants to do that. He wants to make you give up. He wants you to be a quitter. Self-centered people make easy prey for Satan. You ever meet someone that's like, me, 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 it's all about me? Self-centered people make easy prey for Satan because, listen, he gives you an offer you can't refuse. Yourself. This is going to feel so good and nobody's going to know about it. And everyone else is doing it, so who cares? Everyone's doing it. I'm not doing it. But why do we have self-centered people? I'll tell you why. You ready for this? A lack of love for God and others causes them to give up when discouragement strikes. Lack of love. When somebody loves themselves, they don't have any more room to love anybody else but themselves. They don't want to love God. That takes too much love away from themselves. They don't want to love their brother and sister because that's less love for themselves. I want everything for me, myself, and I. Those are the three people I care about the most, me, myself, and I. And when something goes wrong, I can't handle this. I'm so discouraged because I am not getting my way. And Satan laughs. Satan laughs. He says, go do something wrong. Go out and please yourself and don't worry about anybody better them than you. It's better that the bad happens to them than it happens to you. That's what he tells people. Thank God it's not you suffering anymore. Too bad for them, though, huh? We must be filled with God's love. Filled with God's love. Then we must reach out to help the needy and witness to the lost. We can win over discouragement if we keep on keeping on. Everybody say, keep on keeping on. Listen, man, the Christian life isn't easy. But living in sin out of the obedience of God, that will get you even a harder life than what you ever imagined you could have in the Christian life. So in conclusion, I want to say, God does not want us to be discouraged. God is not looking for ways to discourage you. He's not hoping that you fail. He's actually your best cheerleader. And God wants to give us hope. Don't you want hope today? Aren't you tired of living your life your way? Aren't you tired of thinking about what you need and what you want and what you wish you had and what you wish you didn't do? Don't you want some hope in your life? But one day you're going to wake up and the grave's going to be staring you in the face. And what are you going to have to show for that? Are you going to be sowing into the lives of other people and making a difference there? Or are you going to keep sowing into your own life and watch it waste away? Watch it waste away. Listen to what Jeremiah 29:11 says. You might want to write this scripture down because this will give you hope. And this is God talking. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God's not out to get you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God wants to give you hope. He wants to give you a future. He's got plans for you. But you got to be in alignment with those plans. If you're living your life for yourself, those don't include the plans of God, I'm sorry to say. God's plans for you are to serve Him. And through serving Him, you really start to live. If we are to have hope, we must first have Jesus Christ, because no matter what God does for you today, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the penalty for your sins, guess what? You are never, ever going to have the hope of eternal life. And that is the true hope we need. So listen, right where you are, and I do this every Sunday, don't I? Because you know what? You could sit in church your whole entire life and leave every single time and not be a Christian. So wherever you are right now, say this prayer. If you want to become a Christian, if you want to give yourself over to God, ask Jesus to save you. Say, Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I turn away from them right now. You repent. You don't want to do this no more. I ask you to forgive me. I accept Jesus Christ as the payment to you for my sins. See, you can't do no good that's going to impress God to save you from hell. You have to accept Jesus Christ. That's the payment, not your good deeds, not your good intentions. Jesus Christ is your payment to Him. God requires blood for the sins of man, and Jesus spilled His blood for us. I believe He died for me, and you raised Him from the dead. See, Jesus not only died, but God gave Him the ability to raise Himself from the dead. And if He raised from the dead, we too will raise from the dead. Please forgive me through Jesus Christ and help me to live a Christian life. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.